The Emperor Diocletian is important for several reasons. Not only did he end civil war and frontier war and brought stability back to the Roman world, he also effected a series of changes, administrative changes, and constitutional changes that redefine the nature of the Roman monarchy. Many of the features of the late Roman monarchy are prefigured in that relationship between Greek cities and the Roman emperor. With Diocletian, we enter a period known as the Dominate. It comes from the Latin word dominus, or dominus noster, our lord. The Roman emperor ceased to rule as a first citizen and ruled as an autocrat, as the friend of gods, as divine himself. Many of the titles and the powers and privileges that Greek provincials had given to the emperor as an act of deference now became a rule, now were codified as imperial ceremonies, and the emperor ruled with a much larger administration, an expanded army, and demanded a great deal more from his subjects in the forms of taxes and unpaid services. Often these services are called liturgies in Greek texts of the Roman East. So that change in the Roman monarchy meant that the relationship between cities and emperor was now much more narrowly defined. The city had far fewer rights and privileges, far less room to maneuver when the emperor demanded taxes, sacrifices, extraordinary measures. Furthermore, the crisis of the 3rd century had also changed the system of patronage. Again, Asia Minor had done much better than much of the Roman world, but the emperors increasingly became the most important patrons in the Roman world. As one historian likes to say, the 3rd century was a period in which fewer got richer. And the class lines in the 4th and 5th century AD seemed to be far sharper than they were in the earlier empire. This is seen very clearly in the cities of Asia Minor. Patronage does continue. And as I said, Asia Minor experienced the late Roman world in a fashion quite different from much of the Roman Empire. Their cities survived. There were civic life went on in some ways very much the way it had had in the previous 400 or 500 years. Still, you can notice that increasing number of patrons are not the local elites, but imperial governors and, as we shall see, bishops. And that is an important change that indicates that there has been a major shift in society starting in the 4th and 5th century. Diocletian also experimented in collective rule. He had three colleagues with him who were supposed to provide stability to the empire. We often call this the tetrarchy, the rule of four. The system did not survive Diocletian's retirement. A series of civil wars ensued within about a year after Diocletian had abdicated. And those civil wars resulted in putting a man into power who was really, in many ways, the unexpected candidate. And that was the Emperor Constantine. The Emperor Constantine was the son of one of Diocletian's colleagues. And Constantine, in 324, reunited the Roman Empire after some 20 years of civil war. Constantine is also important because in the course of those wars, probably in 312 AD, during one of the battles, the so-called Battle of the Milvian Bridge, he converted to Christianity. And by the time he reunited the Roman Empire, there was no doubt that he identified himself as a Christian, as a member of the new faith. He also made sure that this new faith would be promoted as the favored religion of the imperial court. He did not go so far as to make Christianity the only religion of the Roman Empire. But anyone in a position of authority realized that if you wish to gain imperial favor, if you wish to rise in imperial service, it would behoove you to convert to Christianity. And in 324 AD, that became quite evident when the Emperor Constantine had reunited the Roman world. Pagans would always consider a divine power, a new divine power, as a possibility if that divine power could prove its effectiveness. And what was more effective than a Roman emperor who claimed to win a victory due to the Christian God and then went on to reunite the Roman world? To many pagans, that would look like a miracle. That would look like some sort of vindication that maybe this Christian God did have legitimate power. And there were a number of conversions along these lines. Now, many of those converts did not realize that Christianity carried with it this strict monotheism that came from its Jewish heritage, and they would learn that in time. And I think that would even be true of Constantine in his early stages. But the religious and cultural script for Asia Minor is being set in the reign of Constantine. Increasingly, Christianity will emerge as the new dominant religious and cultural force, and that will put in play a whole new process of rewriting the religious landscape of Asia Minor.